Amen. Go ahead and please be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you're in good spirits. And if you're visiting with us, great to have you with us here this Sunday morning. Been away the last couple weekends, so I haven't seen you in a couple weekends. A few weeks ago, I was getting out of the car after having lunch with Kevin and Ed, who are visiting. Got out of the car. I was going into the car, and I picked up Eric, put him in the car, and all of a sudden, you feel something in your body that just shouldn't be there. And I was like, that didn't feel good. Then I went home, sat down, and I could not even move. So where Karen had to pick me up to be able to move me, I felt so helpless where I couldn't even move. I was like stuck like this. I couldn't even move this way. Karen actually physically had to pick me up so that I could move around the house. And then after some chiropractor, massage therapy, all that stuff, I was like, okay, it's heading in the right direction. Then lo and behold, a virus was going around in Eric's school, actually scarlet fever. So all of a sudden the other one came. And so when all said and done, the virus is out of the system, which is good. The back, I was like, I'm never going to have my back when I was 20 years old. And the reality is, it's not going to happen. So now it's just now it's maintenance, making sure to do the right thing. But at least it's good to be able to be up and about, walking, and be able to be here this morning. So I trust that you're well. Trust that life's well, family's well. And it's good to be here this morning. Today we're going to talk about today's lesson is creating to become like Christ. As we talk about the theme of the year is being transformed. And I know Dave talked about a lesson on humility a few weeks ago, which is very key to being transformed. And I know Kevin talked about when he was here about God's word being the foundation of our lives, very key to being transformed. And so today we're going to continue to talk about how we're created to become like Christ. Last night, let me just get out of the way. Of course, the Leafs played the Senators, and so congratulations to you Senator fans. Eric and I started watching a bit of it last night, and we're like, just didn't start off well. I was like, this doesn't look like it's heading in the right direction. And we asked Eric, who's playing? He goes, the Ottawa Centimeters. We're like, no, it's not Centimeters. Ottawa Senators. He's like, okay. So that's cute. And so then it's funny, last night we were praying before dinner, and after we pray, Eric's like, God is the greatest God I ever had. And we're like, he's the only God you ever had. But he's like, God's the greatest God I ever had. How can I help God, Daddy? And I was like, well, there's many ways that we can serve God. You think about those words, and he's like, when we talk about God, he wants to learn about God, and hopefully that continues. But, life is about enjoying God, being excited about God, and thinking about what we can do in our lives to be able to serve God, and of course, whatever God calls us to in his word, that we put into practice. But created to become like Christ. That is God's goal for each and every one of us. To shape our lives into the lines of Christ. When we look at Jesus, we see God's original purpose for each and every one of us. His goal is that we come to know God, serve him, worship him, speak about him, reflect him, take on his values and attitudes and his character. God's goal for us is not comfort. Do we not love comfort? Does society not cater towards comfort? It's amazing. I picked up Eric and we were walking by the television. He's like, Daddy, what's that button for? I go, that button is to turn the TV off. He's like, oh, let's turn the TV off that way. And I was like, no, we don't need to do that. We have a remote control that we turn the TV off. Isn't life all about comfort? Why get up and push a button when you don't have to? But God's goal for us is not about comfort. God's goal for us is not about finding a spouse. If you find one, amen to that. But God's goal for us is not about finding a spouse. It's not about comfort. It's not about material possessions. It's not about happiness. It's not about making money. It's not about getting a degree. But if you get many of those things, great. But sometimes we believe that's what God's goal is for our lives. And it's important as a disciple we never lose sight of that. For life can be very frustrating. We should not be sidetracked by whether it be selfish desires, ambitions. God's purpose for our life is Christ-likeness. And if we lose sight of that, our lives will be replaced with self-improvement, trying to find comfort, happiness, and fulfilling our dreams in many different ways. But we were created for a purpose. We were created to become like Christ. And God's goal for each and every one of us is transformation. God's goal for each and every one of us is transformation. Being transformed into the likeness of Christ. A new life from the inside out. To be transformed so that we can be different, so that we can have different lives, we can have different families, we can have a different looking church that shines in the community. But we're created to become like Christ. You know, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, where we're going to spend our time here this morning. But before we read Ephesians chapter 4, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, thank you so much that God, we're able to be here this morning, to be able to sing songs, to be able to pray and take communion together and offer what you've given to us back to you. And Father, thank you so much for all that you've given us. Thank you, God, for this time that we're able to be here this morning to worship you in thanksgiving. And Father, I do pray that as we open up your word, Father, I pray that your spirit would speak to each and every one of our hearts. Father, you know where each and every one of us are at here today. Father, you know if we need encouragement, you know if we're discouraged, you know if we need to be built up. Father, you know if we need to be comforted. Father, you know everything about us. And Father, I pray that your spirit can work through me as I preach your word, that Father, we open our hearts to your word, so that, Father, we can be able to take from whatever your word and spirit says to us here today. So that, Father, we can leave here making decisions, Father, to live transformed lives. Father, help us as disciples not to get sidetracked by the many different things the world tries to entice us with, tries to get us to focus on. But, Father, help us each day of our lives to focus on becoming more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And, Father, always striving and doing our best to walk in his footsteps. Father, thank you again, God, that we're able to be here this morning. Thank you, God, that you've given us your word that challenges us, inspires us, so that, Father, we can make changes to becoming more like Jesus. Father, thank you. We ask you to continue to bless our time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, begin reading in verse 17. You know, when you read the earlier chapters of Ephesians, you know, Paul taught the disciples that they're saved by grace. An amen to that? And grace teaches us and changes our lives when we understand God's grace. You know, to accept God's grace and to turn back to the old way of living makes absolutely no sense. And Paul continues to help these disciples understanding some very important truths. Ephesians 4, verse 17 says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. We're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. You know, all you can say is, wow. You know, Paul taught many different things here. And today as we talk about created to become like Christ. You know, my first point is, we need to put off the old self. You know, the Bible says we need to put off that old self. You know, another translation in verse 22, it says, get rid of it. Then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately produces his character in you. You know, we are to put off the old self. And Paul talks about the old self, the life outside of Christ, the life of futile thinking. You know, where we live, where unspiritual people live according to their own rules. Thinking is not based on God and not based on God's word. And where this futile thinking does not lead to the fulfillment of God's purpose. Paul talks about darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God. That they did not look through God's eyes and did not understand what life was truly all about. You know, it talked about the ignorance due to, of course, the hardening of their hearts. That they were ignorant, but they were not innocent. And Paul talks about the life of indulgence, where people outside of Christ, it talks about every kind of impurity with a continual desire for more. You know, you think about the world we live in. We live in a very sensual world. We live in a world where the pursuit is every kind of impurity with a continual desire for more. A life that's centered on self, a life centered on gratifying the flesh. But Paul said, you know what? We got to put off the old self. Because that's not what we learned when we came to learn about Christ. When we learned about Christ, it is about living a different, transformed life. So what's important for every disciple, anyone who wants to be a disciple, is to be choosing to let go of the ways of acting as the world acts. To get rid of such things. Talks about, you know, we're to get rid of lying. We're to have a, you know, deceitful tongue and replace it with truthful speech. You know, do we not live in a world where lying is so acceptable? I was Googling something. It said, what are the common things? The small lies that we at times classify, you know, we go, okay, there's the big lies. Then there's the small lies that are at times more acceptable. Some of them are when we say we're fine, when we're not. Now, sometimes we say, you know, how are you? Well, I'm fine. And we're not fine. Or it can be something as similar as, you know, I'm on my way. then we haven't left the house yet. Or, you know, some people might say, you know what? We'll keep in touch. Another, according to what I saw, was it says, yes, I'm listening to what you're saying. Or here's one. It says, I love what you're wearing. You know, you ever see someone and sometimes you know in your mind, you know, that just doesn't look good. Sometimes we might be wearing something and something someone realizes, that doesn't look good. But sometimes, I put around and say, you know what? Nah, that just wasn't the best choice today, brother or sister. Sometimes we're here saying, you know what? Why, you look great. Or there's another one, it says, from Facebook, it says on Facebook where you say people lie about their age. They lie about maybe the job, their job, maybe the position of their job. Where there are many different things, you know, they went on to several list upon lists. But my point is here today, you know, when in God's eyes, there's no small lie, there's no big lie. We need to make sure as disciples that we get rid of lying of any sort. Talks about we got to make sure we stop sinning in our anger. But instead, we should allow anger to provoke us to positive action. You know, sometimes out of anger, we could say things, we could do things. And sometimes, you know, the Bible talks about it's not that anger itself is what's sinful. It's that do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. But many times, the anger we feel, it can be rooted in selfishness. But there is a godly anger that at some point, as we mature as Christians, maybe we'll get to a point where our godly anger can be used constructively. But it's important that we get rid of anger because it says here, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Because why? It'll give the devil a foothold. You know, the Bible talks about unwholesome talk. Another translation says corrupt talk. You know, what is unwholesome talk? Corrupt talk. You know, there's a book that I'm reading. It's called Respectable Sins. And that is, it's more the respectable sins that Christians, at times, they tolerate. Because they're more respectable. They're more acceptable. When, you know, we think about in the world, we think about how, you know what? A Christian should never do this stuff. But there are other things that at times, based on who we are, based on, you know, again, more respectable things, that we tend to tolerate a bit more. And some of them were, and I know they mentioned some of them, any kind of gossip. That speech of unfavorable information. Slander, false statements, or misrepresentation. You think about, we live in Ottawa, you think about politicians, and you think about how, in order to get a foot up on someone, they just slander opponents' characters. You know, you think about critical speech, negative comments about someone that might not be true or might even be true, but should not even be said. You know, the author says when there's any kind of unwholesome talk, it is often, it says, to take the attention off of oneself or to make us feel self-righteous by comparison. You know, we've got to make sure we guard our tongue. We've got to make sure that we guard our tongue in any, to make sure that there's no unwholesome talk that comes out of our mouths. But I said, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. You know, Bible says get rid of all kinds of things. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of rage. Get rid of brawling, slander, malice. Why? Because all these things do not look good on us. That we are to put these things off because we were never created to live such a way. But we are created to live very differently. Because all these things don't look good on disciples. It doesn't look good when we see it in the world. Now, we are to put off these things because these are not the things that we learned from Christ. These are not the actions or words we've seen in Christ. But we are to put off the old, and point number two, we are to put on the new self. To put on the new self. You know, you ever find what you wear makes a difference on how you feel? You know, maybe sometimes when you dress to go to a special occasion, and you put on your nice jacket, or you put on a tux, and it makes a difference on how you feel. And if you're a woman, you put on a beautiful dress, and you feel like the most beautiful creation in the world. You know, it makes a difference. What we put on makes a difference on how we feel many times. You know, you think about as Christians, you know, what we put on, when we put on Christ, it makes a big difference in our lives. It makes a huge difference in our lives when we put on the character of Christ. You know, you think about, imagine you're wearing these clothes that have all these holes in them. And again, sometimes they're the style, but sometimes they're not the style. You're wearing these clothes, they have all these holes. They're dirty. They look like rags. Then all of a sudden, someone comes and says, here you go. Here are some brand new clothes. And you can use your imagination. Maybe it's a suit for you if you're a guy. Maybe it's a dress for you if you're a woman. And it's very expensive. And it looks amazing. It is the best suit or the best dress you've ever seen. And the person just, you know what, here, put it on. You put it on, it's going to make a big difference in your life. It's going to make a big difference in how you feel. And you know what? The best thing, it's free. And here you go. All you got to do is put it on. Don't make any alterations, but just put it on. You know, that is the very thing that Jesus wants us to put on. That Jesus wants us to put on his character, his values, to put on these different values and attitudes on ourselves. And what a difference it'll make in our lives. You know, it talks about putting on a new self. Begins with a new attitude. Made new with the attitude of our mind. You know, it's amazing what happens when we allow God to direct our thoughts, that we change from the inside out. You know, you think about our formative years. You know, we learn many different things. We learn to live independently, apart from God. But you know, when we became a Christian, nobody pushed a delete button. Like, no one pushed a delete button. There's still a way that we think. There are still things that are stored in our memory bank that shapes how we act and how the choice that we make in our day-to-day life. That pursuing and thoughts of the flesh don't just leave us when we become a Christian. They're still there, and it takes work to change how we think through the use of the scriptures. That what we may have learned growing up has to be unlearned by using God's word. And we're leading to a change in attitude and mindset. And then talks about leads to putting on the new self. The new self, which it says, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, the new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Where we're set apart for a purpose that God has for our lives. That we give way to a pure life. We give way to truthful speech. And we give way to where we our speech is about helping to build others up according to their needs. The Bible talks about kindness, where we take on the Christ-like character of kindness. You know, you can write down Luke chapter 6, verse 35, where Jesus said that God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. That God shows unconditional kindness to each and every one of us. And so, too, we should show unconditional kindness to one another and also those as well in the world. Talks about to put on compassion. To have compassion for whether it be your brother, whether it be your neighbor, your family. To have a heart of compassion like the very heart of Jesus. And to treat people with compassion. And then it says to forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. You know, we live in a world where we at times rarely feel like forgiving. And we rarely feel like forgiving someone over and over again. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, you know, forgiving can be a very difficult thing. It can be a very challenging thing. Because you know why? If you're anything like me, because there's no advantage to you. No advantage to me. When we forgive someone, because at times we feel like, you know what? Something should be done rather than imitating the very heart of Jesus that forgives. You know, Jesus calls us to a very different standard than the world. The world holds on to things. The world holds on to bitterness. And you think about someone when they're bitter. It doesn't look good on them. And God's like, you know, these different things, they don't look good on us. They don't look good on our face. They don't look good on how we act. To get rid of those things and try something new. Put on the new self. And if you live with truthful speech, you live with a pure life, you live being someone who is kind and building people up and being compassionate, being forgiving, that you'll feel and look so much different and be so excited about life when we put on the new self. And we're called in chapter 5 to be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. You know, we are called to live a life of love. When we think about how we can express love to one another, how we can serve in love, encourage in love, build each other up in love, that we do whatever we can to express love to one another, express love to your family, express love to people in your community, classroom, that we live a life of love. Why? Because Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And we're called to put on a new self and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. You know, God's goal for us this morning, God's goal for us this week, God's goal for us in this year and years to come is to transform us so we can become more and more like his son. You know, when we become more and more like Jesus, we think different, we feel different, we look different when we become more and more like Jesus. And that's why God shapes us in many different situations. To help us to put on Christ. Because when we put on Christ, it makes a big difference in our life. To grow in our unconditional love. And you know what? To grow in our unconditional love, you know who God's going to put in your life? People who we might think are unlovable. You know, God's not going to put lovable, sweet people in our life and want to grow in our love because anyone can love the sweet, innocent, lovable people. If God wants us to grow in unconditional love, he's going to put some people we'll find very difficult to love. God wants us to grow in our patience. You know, God's going to put some people in our life who, you know what, we may want them to change things much quicker than how we would want them to change. Now, you might see that in, you know, I see that every time when sometimes I'm getting Eric ready for school, I'm doing this Eric, it's like, Eric, enough already, let's go. And he's like, you know, sauntering, taking his time, like, Eric, let's go, we gotta go. You know, we want it to be on our pace, but to grow in patience, you know, we'll have some people who are slower than we might be in putting things into practice. God wants, hey, you know what, wants us to grow in our forgiveness. You know what? People will wrong us. God wants to grow in our character. You know what? Guess what? We're going to have trials in our lives. But when we lose sight that it's God's goal for us to become like Jesus, we'll look at those things very differently. So God, why are you putting these people in my life? Why are you, you know, why are these people who have wronged me, or why did I face these trials in my life? That God will simply say, it is to produce Christ in you. That's God's goal, is to produce Christ-likeness in us, and we should never lose sight of it. When we put on the clothes of Christ, you know, we might think, you know what? That's a big task. That's pretty big for me. You know, we need to remember that transformation is a process. The clothes of Christ might not fit perfectly at first. But it's important, like clothes, that we grow into them. And that is what Christ wants from us. That's what God wants from us, is to grow into the character of Christ. You know, this morning, let us remember what we were created for, who we were created by, that we were created to become like Christ. And let us make decisions. Wherever we're at in our spiritual life, a decision, you know what? I'm going to make a decision to become like Christ. I'm going to make a decision to grow to become more and more like Christ. To put off the old self. Because the old self, when all said and done, does not look good on us. But to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. To change how we think. To change how we live. To replace the old habits with new habits. And those are the habits of Christ. And let us allow God to transform us all into his original purpose for our lives, which is created to become like Christ. Amen? Have a great week.